Now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. Would you hold up your Bibles and we're going to jump into the word today. Just so you know, guys, for those of you who are not with us or new to our church or not with us that often, we hold up the Bible every week because everything that I'm going to tell you comes from the Word of God. Amen. And we hold a high value here at New Beginnings on the Word. And so here's what we say about the Word every week. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here today. Today is the final installment for the message series entitled, To Be or Not To Be. The famous Hamlet quote from the Shakespeare play, Hamlet is contemplating life and death. Am I going to choose to live or to die? And now this sermon has nothing to do with living, literally living or dying, but instead about learning to die to self so that I might live life to the full in these things called relationships. Don't you love relationships? How many of you are in a relationship right now? Every one of you is in a relationship. You're in relationships with family and friends. You're in relationships with brothers and sisters, with boyfriends or girlfriends or husbands or wives or children. You're in relationships of all kinds. And what happened is over the years, I've noticed that in our relationships, we are always looking for the other person to be for us what we need them to be. I need you to take care of my needs. I need you to provide for me. I need you to do these things. Instead of us looking in the mirror and just saying, am I being the person I was created to be in every relationship? Starting with our relationship with God. You know, yes, God saves us. God's the one who did the work. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith and not of works. But I want you to understand something. God has a plan and a purpose for us in this relationship with him. And in this relationship with him, we're called to be one thing. Anybody remember what it is? Oh, this is terrible. I quit. I'm done. We're called to be holy. And my wife, you better know the answer. We're called to be holy, both in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament and in 1 Peter in the New Testament. God calls us to be holy. The problem is we mistakenly confuse holiness with a behavior, not a state of being. See, holiness is not something I behave to become. Holiness is something I have because of what Jesus did. Amen. Week number two, I talked about the role of husbands and wives. How many married people in the house? Listen, if you did not make the marriage conference this year, you missed out. It was awesome, and God did some incredible things. It was a great weekend. Love spending it with the young couples, lots of couples, young and old. All across the spectrum. Some married just a few months and some married years. 44 years was one of the couples. They're back there somewhere. There they are. In the role of husbands and wives, we're called as the husband to love our wives or to be unconditional love to them. To love them unconditionally and to love them sacrificially. Now, it sounds easy, but it's very difficult. And then for the wife, you're called to love your husband humbly and honorably. And when we decide we're going to be those things for our spouse, we then will begin to receive all that we need because we're being all that we're supposed to be. Amen? Week number three, I talked about the role of being a parent or being a child. And I'm going to harp on this for a moment because I think it's so important. Parents, number one, we are called to be our children's disciplinarians. I know it's not the popular thing. I hear parents all the time say, oh, me and my kid, we're best friends. You're not called to be your kid's best friend. You're called to be the parent. And sometimes in parenting, we're going to say things and do things they're not going to like. That's called discipline. And I believe the reason our society is as it is today is because of a lack of discipline. We could stay right there for a long time. We need to be their encourager. We need to be their teacher. And we need to be their legacy. You know, leaving our children a financial inheritance is good, but I want you to know what's better is leaving them a spiritual legacy, one that will go on into and through eternity. Week number four, last week I talked about being a friend. And one of the statements that I made was we need to be a sharpener. We need to be willing to walk through times of difficulty with our friend. Be a builder. Be loving. And be good and godly counsel. And I had someone write to me and say, I don't have any friends. And I my heart was broken. And I said, well, you know, get in a connect group and be a part. You know, I find if I want a friend, it's probably better to be one. And if I just learn to be a friend, you know what'll happen? I'll have a friend. But I got to be one first. Today, I'm going to talk about the employee and employer relationship. How many people in here today, by a show of hands, you work for someone? Lots of you. Those who don't work, I want to know what you do because I want that job. And how many of you have people under you? You could be in middle management, you know, upper management, CEO, owner, whatever you have, but you have people working for you, but you work for a company. Because some of you may fall into both categories, right? I work for a company, but I have people working for me. Okay? Who's that? Okay? And how many of you own your company? You're the owner. All right, good, good, good. So we have people all across the spectrum. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, don't get messed up because of the words I'm about to read to you. Ephesians 6 verse 5 says, slaves. You're like, wait, hold on, bro. I'm not anybody's slave. Well, this was a term used for people who worked for others in the New Testament times. And so don't get messed up because they talk about the word slave. It's not like the word you're thinking of. It's just a worker, a slave. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Now, pay close attention to verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are a slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. The Apostle Paul here, addressing the church at Ephesus as it pertains to working for someone and someone working for you. And maybe today, as an employee of a company, maybe you're an owner, high-level manager, CEO, whatever you are, you're just the employee. You just work for somebody. And at any one of those areas, you're going to find, I believe, this sermon today helpful. And of course, how many, I already asked that question, how many people in the house are working? This past week, while we were out of town, by the way, thank you for allowing me and Peggy to get away. It was a great time. And it was so funny how God does this all the time. While we were away, we ate at two different restaurants, and I had two completely different experiences that I'll explain in a moment. And both of these experiences helped me to write this sermon. I was in the midst of studying, preparing, praying through the sermon. And one night, I think it was Monday night, we go to this place in Baytown, which is in the Sandestin Resort called Hammerheads. I can say that. They had bad service at Hammerheads. So we go to Hammerheads, and if you don't know where that's at, it's on the bay in Destin, and we're looking out at the water and the beautiful yachts, and it's just an incredible sun setting in the background. Now, just go there with me right now. So we're all sitting there, the wind's blowing, you can hear the seagulls, you know, chirping in as they fly around, and just you can hear the water lapping on the shore, just a beautiful scene. And we're sitting outside, I'm looking at all this, and this girl comes over to take our order. Y'all ready to order? Can we get something? I want like a tea, you know, whatever. And it was like almost an imposition to place our order. So I was like, well, surely maybe she's having a bad day. It'll get better from here. And throughout the entire meal, it just went downhill, downhill, downhill. Thank God the food was good because the experience was horrible. We leave there, and a couple of days later, we go to this other place on Highway 98 in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. Now, it is just on the highway. It is, as a matter of fact, we were sitting outside in a parking lot. We weren't looking at the water. We weren't experiencing the seagulls. We weren't experiencing the cool ocean breeze. We weren't experiencing any of those things. We were sitting in a parking lot at a table, covered by a sail to keep the sun off of us. But this guy named Danny comes out. And Danny was an incredible waiter. Danny comes out, and Danny goes, he shows you the specials of the day, and he can rattle them off from memory, tell you everything that's in them. Well, does this have this in it? No, this doesn't have this. You know, you'll love that. But it just goes on and on. Danny knew it all. And we were just like so delighted because Danny was so nice and friendly. And so we place our order, and then as we're placing our orders, this is the greatest thing. If you ever experience in a restaurant, it's like having a cheerleader, right? So I'm going to have the pasta dish with the shrimp and crawfish. Great choice, sir. You're going to love it. I'm like, yeah, look at me go, boy. I picked the right thing, you know? And you're going to love that. That's my favorite dish. And then he tells, that's my favorite dish. It's different, completely different dish. And tells our other friends, I love that dish too. And like, no, none of us can go wrong. And by the way, please save room for dessert. You don't want to miss our desserts all made in-house. They're fresh. I'm like, I love dessert. I'll wait. I'm going to save room, you know. So when we have this great experience. That night, I get back to our room, and I'm going to sleep. And about 2 a.m., went to bed about 9, about 2 a.m., I wake up to go to the bathroom. How many of you guys deal with that middle of the night? It's always fun. And so I get up, I get back in bed, I'm ready to go back to sleep and enjoy my nice restful night. And the Lord began to speak to me and says, those two experiences that you had are exactly what your sermon's about this week. And I'm like, yeah, a bad experience at one, a great experience at another. And he goes, here's the word for employees. And so here's the word I want to give you today for if we're going to be the employee we're called to be, here's the word God gave me in 2 a.m. in the morning last week. We should be diligent. So I'm laying there not wanting to pick up my phone and make a note in my phone because I don't want to wake Peggy up at 2 a.m. So I just began to just repeat this word over and over and over. Diligent, diligent, yeah, diligent. I'll be diligent. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what does that mean? And the Lord begins just speaking to me about what diligent means and so on. And so, man, I was like, okay, I got up. I'm excited. And so as I began to go to the scripture I just read to you in Ephesians chapter 6, put up verse 7 if you would. Verse 7, it says, serve wholeheartedly. I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? And then the Lord brought me to Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, again, Paul writing both of these is talking about the employee-employer relationship. He almost says the same thing to the church at Colossae. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Look at verse 23. And whatever you do, say whatever. Now, isn't that an interesting word? We can use that word whatever as a very negative word, but in this case, it's a very positive word. Hey, whatever it is you do, whatever level it is that you work at, whoever it is that you work for, whatever conditions you work in, whatever you do. Let that sink in for a minute. Not only if you have the best job, not only if your working conditions are wonderful, because see, the difference was that Danny and this other lady had two completely different set of working conditions. Her working conditions were phenomenal. I would have been a waiter at that restaurant because I could have walked out and looked at the water every day, talked to nice touristy people who were there spending lots of money and probably going to tip me pretty heavy, a large tip because I was really nice. But no, this lady didn't care about that because what she did at the end of the meal was she brought us her little electronic thing with the bill on it, and she added the tip for 5 people. An over 20% tip for 5 people. So when my friend got the bill, he couldn't see that the tip had already been added, and he added another tip. So this terrible waitress got an enormous tip for providing crappy service and a bad attitude. But Danny, on the other hand, Danny received an incredible tip because of his incredible service and his incredible attitude in a crappy location. See, put that back up there. Whatever you do, wherever it is you do it, work at it with all your heart. Just like verse 7 says of Ephesians 6, serve wholeheartedly, right? As working for the Lord and not for human masters. So I asked the Lord, what does diligent mean? He said, that's what employees should strive to be for their employers, diligent. So I looked it up. I opened the dictionary, and diligent means this: having or showing care and conscientiousness in one's work or duties. Care, conscientiousness. So Paul here in Ephesians and Colossians uses the word serve wholeheartedly and work at it with all your heart. Now I would say that would be diligence in your work, having or showing care and conscientiousness for the things that you do. I want you to understand that diligence does not depend on your circumstances. Well, you know, if I had a better office chair, and if my air conditioner worked in my part of the building better than it works, or if my boss talked to me a little nicer, or if I didn't have to deal with all these angry customers, or if I didn't have to do, then I would be these things, right? But that's not what Jesus is telling us in these scriptures. Diligence doesn't depend on our conditions, and it doesn't depend on our circumstances. Diligence only depends on a commitment to be diligent. Now, I want you to imagine something with me for a minute. Tomorrow's Monday. How many of you are looking forward to Monday? I love Mondays. I'm off on Mondays. I know you're jealous. That's okay. Imagine with me now. How many of you love West St. Tammany Parish? Don't you love West? Y'all live here. I assume that most of you live in West St. Tammany. Do you love West St. Tammany Parish? I love West St. Tammany. As far as Peggy and I call West St. Tammany Parish Shangri-La. This is the greatest place in the world. I'm not kidding you, I love it here. It's wonderful. Our quality of life, I think, is better than most places. It really is, right? I mean, this is a wonderful place. Now imagine this with me, this beautiful place we live, that tomorrow morning, all of you working people showed up at your jobs. And you say, you know what? Pastor Eddie was right. I'm going to show up and I'm just going to work diligently. I'm not worried about what my coworkers are doing. I'm not worried about what my boss is doing. I'm not worried about the conditions that I'm working in. I'm just going to go give it my all because it's the best thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to show up. If we want to be diligent, we're going to do this. We're going to show up on time. Hey, now, I get this. On time, if you have to be to work at 8:30 a.m., on time is not 8:30 a.m. Thank you. Yes. Yes. See, my dad taught us 15 minutes early is on time. Why? Because when it's time to start work, you're already ready to go. Now, of all my children, I have 5 kids. One got that trait, Grace. The rest of them, like, what's a clock? Now, grace is early because grace is nervous about being late. So she's so anxious. Yes, good word. Anxious. They want to use the other word. She's so anxious about being late, she shows up 30 minutes early, which is even better. I don't care the reason, just show up early and be ready on time. So how about the first part of diligence is being on time. Now, I believe the second part of diligence is being prepared. Now, what I loved about my friend Danny at that restaurant Louie Louie in Santa Rosa is that Danny didn't just show up for work. Danny knew the menu. And Danny could tell you all about the menu, all about the items, all about the ingredients, all about the taste. He obviously tasted them all because he certainly knew every ingredient on the menu and was really good at saying those fancy French words. We were like, how do you say that? And he would say, I still can't say them. Or was it Bière sauce? I don't know. Like, whatever. Okay, sounds good, Danny. We're going to have that. So we show up on time, we're prepared, and how about this one? We're ready. You ever show up at work? I gotta be careful how I say this. We show up at work, and maybe you're drinking some coffee on the way to work, and you show up on time. You're right at 8:30. You gotta be there at 8:30, and man, that coffee just went right through you. You know what I'm saying? You got to go to the bathroom, and then you're in the bathroom for 15, 20 minutes, and you got to finish that, and then you get to your desk. Now it's 10 minutes to 9. You're just starting your day, right? Or you ladies, you're on your way to work, and traffic was bad, so I really couldn't put my makeup on while I was sitting at red lights because it was too bumper to bumper. So I get to my desk, and I'm putting on my makeup and doing my thing, and that's not being prepared, right? No, you got to do that before you leave the house. People don't need to see you in traffic like that anyway. And then we're ready for action, right? We come in, and instead of hanging around the coffee pot and talking for 15 or 30 minutes about the events of the weekend, we're at our stations giving it our all, being diligent. How about that? So three of y'all like that. The rest of y'all like, please stop now. You're making me feel bad. All right, let's get to the employer. If you're going to be the employer that you're called to be, you have people working for you, I believe the word for the employer is fair or just. To be fair or be just. Now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writing to the church, and he says what he says to the masters or the boss. Masters, provide your slaves, your employees, with what is fair and right, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Colossians 4:1, we're to treat them right, or we're to treat them fair. Now, the word fair in the Greek language is the word isotos, and it means likeness in condition and proportion. Now, I want you to understand something. Fair doesn't mean everybody gets paid the same thing. See, that's where we get messed up. We say, well, I don't get paid the same as him, and I don't get paid the same as her, and we don't have the same conditions. And I believe the Bible talks about this in Matthew chapter 25. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 25, this is the parable of the talents. Now, I love what Jesus says here about in the parable of the talents in verse 14 of Matthew 25. He said, again, it'd be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, and to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag. Look at these words, each according to his ability. Not the manager's ability, but the slave or the employee's ability, right? Then he went on his journey. Now, in the parable, I believe that the manager, they all worked for the same manager. They all had the same job. We're going to assume they all had the same job, but they all didn't do the job the same way. They had different levels of ability, and they were each rewarded according to the scripture, verse 15, each according to his ability. Sometimes we wonder why I don't get paid the same as somebody else. Got to ask yourself, is it because of my ability? See, to one he gave five bags of gold, and to one two, and the other one bag. And it says in verse 15, he gave each according to his ability. If you don't know how much you, if you want to know why you don't make what you need to make or what you think you're worth, maybe it's because we're not putting forth the amount of ability that we should. Now, a good manager or a good owner should give each according to his ability, not according to his liking or over one over another, not because one's a suck up and one's not, right? That's not a reason to give somebody a raise. We do it because they're worthy of the raise. They're worthy of the blessing, so to speak, right? And it looks like in this particular case, the manager was dead on when it came to the three workers. To the one he gave five bags of gold, this is what happened. When he came back to settle accounts, the guy said, "Hey, master, you entrusted me with five. Look, I brought you five more." I love what the manager says to him. "Well done, good and faithful servant." To the one who received the two bags, he said, "Master, look, you entrusted me with two. Look, I brought you two more. Well done, good and faithful servant." But the one who received the one bag went off, it says, dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. And when he came back to settle accounts, he said, "I went and hid your money in the ground, and here's what belongs to you. Here's the one bag back." And then what he says, "You worthless, lazy servant." And I bet you the guy was probably crying and wondering why I'm not getting five bags like the first guy, or why I'm not getting two bags like the second guy. Well, you got one bag because you were lazy and wicked and you went off and didn't do what you were supposed to do with the one that you got. But for the manager, we're to treat our employees fairly and justly. They all get the best environment to work in. They all get the same opportunities to advancement and growth. Right? For the employee, if you don't like where you are today, maybe it's because of your ability. So then the only one that can change your ability is you. Now, my friend Danny in that restaurant Louie Louie in Santa Rosa Beach, we were all talking at the table about Danny and about his incredible service and his attitude and so on. So I asked the question. I said, "Danny, can I ask you a question? Are you the owner of the restaurant?" I assumed he was going to say, "Yeah, one of the own." He goes, "I am while I'm here." Wow. I went, ding, ding, ding. That's the reason that you care. That's the reason that you're so good. That's the reason that you're a 10 times better waiter than this other person at this other place, because Danny cares like it was his own. You know what? I don't know what was going on in this young lady's life at the other place. I don't know if she had a bad day. I don't know if her boss was a jerk. I don't know if her coworkers were treating her bad. I have no idea, but she certainly let us know things were not great, because my attitude shows it. My attitude, your attitude says a lot about what's going on, right? But I don't know what was happening in Danny's life at all. We have no idea. Did Danny have a bad day? And if we did, we would have never known it. Was Danny's boss mean? I have no idea. I didn't meet Danny's boss. Don't care to meet Danny's boss. All I know is I met Danny, and Danny was a great representative of the restaurant, right? Imagine with me if we all show up tomorrow morning at our jobs, regardless of where it is and regardless of what we do, and we say, "I'm going to be like Danny. I'm going to treat this place like I own it." That doesn't mean you get to take from it. That means you get to give to it. See, people have a misconception about owners. Oh, you owners get all the perks, all the benefits. Yeah, you know what we also get? All the sacrifice. All the headaches. Nobody's coming to Danny when the food's bad. Or they may talk to Danny, but ultimately it's going to come back to the chef or the owner, right? But Danny cared, and Danny was concerned. And was Danny right about that dessert, too? Good thing I saved room, because it was awesome. Best key lime pie I've ever had, as you can tell. And here's the beauty of that situation with Danny. Danny received a nice, heavy tip because Danny was worthy of a heavy tip. Not because Danny manipulated the situation to get a tip, Danny just did his job, and he did it excellently, and he received a great tip as a result. Now, to be the employee we're called to be, what's the word? Be what?
Diligent.
Say it loud.
Diligent.
And to be the employer that we're supposed to be, we're to be what?
Just
and fair. Would you stand with me? We have learned over these last 5 weeks to be what we're called to be and created to be, instead of looking to others to be for us what we think we need from them. We learned to be the disciple and to be the spouse and to be the parent or to be the child, to be the friend and to be the employee or to be the employer. And today we'll close our service by taking Holy Communion together. When you came in, you should have received a communion packet like this one. If you did not, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure that you get one. One right here. Right down here, guys. If you have your communion packet, open the top cellophane and pull out the wafer. And let me share with you a couple of things here. First, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this about communion. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again." Now, what I love about that statement is you cannot proclaim the death of Jesus Christ without simultaneously being reminded of the life of Jesus, right? Because our God didn't just die. Amen? Our God lives. 3 days went into a grave, and 3 days later rose from the dead, is seated today at the right hand of the throne in heaven, and he's praying for you and I. This is a reminder of that. Today, we're saying to our relationships, I can't make God be what I want him to be. I can't make my wife be what I want her to be. I can't make my children be what I want them to be. I can't make my employees be what I want them to be. I can only control me. So I'm going to choose today, by using this communion wafer, this communion today, as my commitment, that I'm going to be what God has called me to be. This is what the Bible says about the body of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, "Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed." Now, I want you to get this. We're healed emotionally. He carried our sorrows. We're healed physically. He took up our infirmities, and we're healed spiritually. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement that brought us peace with God was upon him, upon Jesus, and by his stripes, we're healed. I want you to get it. You're healed in every area of your life. If there's an area today that you need to experience the healing power of Jesus, today when we take this, say, "I receive your healing." Heavenly Father, we receive the healing power of Jesus through this bread here, taking Holy Communion together in Jesus' name. And we can never forget about the blood. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Now, the word redemption, as used in Ephesians 1, 7, and throughout the New Testament, is the Greek word apolytrosis. The definition of apolytrosis is the ransom has been paid in full. Here's what that means. The full and complete payment for your sins has been paid. In Jesus, you've been redeemed from the curse of sin by his precious blood. Listen, when Jesus spilled his perfect, sinless, spotless blood for you, not another drop had to be spilled to cover your sin. Only that once. Amen. Say, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. My sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for spilling your blood to to cover our sins. Now let us walk in all the forgiveness contained therein in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God, as we prepare to go, my prayer for the people of New Beginnings and those watching us online is, God, that we show up tomorrow ready to be diligent and ready to be fair and just in our workplaces. God, let there be such a difference that the people around us will see and wonder what is different. And God, we'll be able to continue to be salt and light to those around us by simply saying, I am trying to be the person God has called me and created me to be in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.